So last week, I started a series called Jesus, the Series, and one of the reasons I wanted to, I really felt like very impressed on, by the Lord to do that, in the sense that we, it's really important that we understand we have our correct doctrine. It's understand that we important understand righteousness and identity in Christ and grace and faith and all these things, and it's important for us to know. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in that that we forget Jesus. You know, so we can explain righteousness and we can explain we're seated with him in heavenly places and all these other things, but we forget Jesus, and he's the center of it all. He, everything hinges on him. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted us just to take a season of just focusing on him. And so this is going to be a long series I'm going to do. I started it last week by talking about Jesus as God. And what we talked about was the fact that, again, a lot of times, you know, God, Jesus came to put a face on God with us, or to show us God, and to understand not only who God is, but who we're created to be, because that he's a picture of who we are in him. But again, I think sometimes we start thinking about him in too many humanistic ways, and we start attributing more of our characteristics to him than his characteristics to us. You know, and make him very human. And we need to remember he was God. He was God. And again, a lot of the truths I was talking about, again, they're probably not something the first time you've ever heard it, but all of us, how many know that the revelation you had of the cross at the moment you got born again and the revelation you have of the cross now are vastly different, that you've grown in that. And so truth needs to be spoken over and over and over again, because as we hear it, we come to a deeper and deeper level of understanding and greater revelation. So we have to be cautious in the body of Christ to not, when someone starts talking about something, say, oh, I already know that. Because once you do that, you shut yourself down from receiving greater revelation of the simplest thing, such as Jesus was God, right? He was God. And so we talked about how he wasn't created by Mary. He wasn't created by Joseph. He wasn't even created by Father God. Because a lot of times we think of him as being created by Father. He wasn't. He always existed. He is one-third of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Jesus has always existed and will always exist. And so eternity came into time, and yet while he was in time, he still contained eternity. That'll blow your mind. But we need our minds blown. Please blow it. Right? He was all powerful, and yet he came into a limited body. And I mean, he demonstrated the power of God, but again, we know that he demonstrated what man looks like when he's in right relationship with God. That's what he demonstrated to us. And so we need to keep in mind the fact that he was Almighty God who came into human form and lived this life out in front of us. One of the things I talked about is that when we get a revelation of Jesus as God, our faith will go through the roof, because we realize the magnitude of who he is, the majesty of who he is, the limitlessness of him, right? And I just believe faith becomes a natural byproduct of that. When, you know, when the disciples saw Jesus, you know, as a man, then he went to the cross and he died and he rose again. And we went through like John's experience, where John saw all that. John leaned on Jesus' breast. He saw the transfiguration of Jesus. He watched Jesus die on the cross. He saw Jesus after he rose again. But then in Revelation, we went there to see that he also saw Jesus in all his glory. That in the book of Revelation, it shows that Jesus just appeared to him and he went down to his knees. I mean, he didn't need to have faith after. I mean, faith was a byproduct of that experience. I believe that there's an anointing, that there's a presence in our church right now, for our church body, for all of us to come to a deeper revelation of Jesus. That's what he's taking us into. And so I talked about going into the scriptures and reading the gospels and putting yourself in there. You can spend an hour on three verses. You know, it's not about rushing through it. It's about pausing and sitting with him in this place. And so I believe that Jesus wants, like John, where you receive that same vision that Jesus, that John had of Jesus, that we can all have that same revelation of Jesus, that we see the grandeur and greatness of him, and we just go on our faces because we see that he was God. He was God. So that's what I talked about last week. What I wanted to talk about this week is Jesus as king. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about. I just really like Jesus as king. Randy and I, when we're at Charis, we teach about the kingdom of God. And that's one of my favorite topics, just because I think when you have a revelation of the kingdom of God, it really helps in your walk with the Lord, because you realize that you live in a different kingdom. So, I also think when you realize Jesus as king, that it brings great security, because this world is in chaos. If you watch the news, if you watch politics, if you watch what's going on in various countries and who's trying to overthrow who and who's trying to get power here and how corrupt the governments are and how corrupt the money system is and, you know, and who's elected, who's not elected, whether or not the votes were counted properly. I mean, it's all insanity. It's all chaos. We have children that are being taught such ungodly values. The family is falling apart. And so if our security is in this world, we might as just give it up. But it says in Acts, there is another king. His name is Jesus. Praise God. And so we, as children of, so Jesus comes and he presents to us, we have the opportunity to accept him as our Lord and Savior. You are taken out of this world and you're put into the kingdom of God. And our place in the kingdom of God is secured by Jesus. Okay, so it's not based on what we do. We've gone over all that. It's not based on our performance. We're secure in the kingdom of God. But he is a king. He is a king. Now, he's different than a lot of people try to study the kingdom of God and come up with all these principles and methods, and there's wonderful books out there on the kingdom of God. But really, when it comes down to it, it's Jesus is king. And you just know Jesus, and wherever he shows up, the kingdom is. That's why he said that for this reason I've come to preach the kingdom of God. What was he doing? He was coming in, God Almighty, the King of all, came in. Man was a fallen creation, fallen because of sin, in darkness, ruled by Satan. Every single person who comes into this world is born into darkness. Jesus comes as the King of glory, the King of majesty, the King of heaven, because we're so valuable. He wants to buy us back. So he comes into a human form. He comes to earth. He lives a sinless life. And because of that, when he goes to the cross, he pays for the sin of all men and all women. And for anyone who accepts him, when you accept him, you're transferred from darkness into light. And now you live in the kingdom of God. And that is secured by Christ, not by your actions. It's secured by him. Yes, that's awesome. That is awesome. So now we live in the kingdom of God. And so now wherever we go, we carry the kingdom just as Christ did. And the word Christ means anointed one. It's like when you read the word Christ, it's like saying king. He was anointed. He was the Messiah. So he was the anointed one, and that's what Christ means. It wasn't his last name, if any of you were confused by that. It wasn't Joseph and Mary Christ who had Jesus, the son. So he says he came here for this reason. He was sent that he must preach the kingdom of God. If he hadn't come to earth, the kingdom of God would never have been known and would never have been available to anybody. We would have been stuck in darkness forever and ever and ever. When it said, thank you, Lord, I mean, that's just like a tip of the iceberg. We would have been lost in darkness forever if it wasn't the fact that God, our King, Jesus, came to this earth to make a way for us to come back into the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is where we were created to live in. So there's people who like to learn about the system of the kingdom of God and the principles of the kingdom of God and apply them outside of him. And there is, you can receive. I mean, people understand that if you give, you receive. But if you do that outside of the kingdom and outside of him, it bears no fruit because it's in the kingdom. It's doing it for his glory where the fruit comes. So it's interesting to have Jesus as your king. If you think about the world, the United States, for example, we elect different people into office. If you think of different monarchies where there is a king and people follow a king, the king has tremendous, who the president is, who rules the governments, and who your king is, has tremendous influence on your life. Tremendous influence on your life. If you have a bad king, or if the king gets overthrown and a good king comes in, all of those things influence your life. If you have an elected official come in, during the time that official is in office, that person has influence over your life, right? But how many of you actually have met a king? How many of you have actually met a president? Even though a president may have rulership over your life for the entire life and influence over your entire life, how many of you actually have met one? Right? How many of you could call him up at any time and say, hey, I need some time with you? I voted for you. You're in office because of me. I funded your campaign. Now, if you funded a lot, they probably would have audience with you. But our king has an intimate personal relationship with every single one of us. That's our king. Wow. I don't know how he does it, but that's ultimate multitasking. So it's nothing like the world. The world who rules you is distant and far away, and you have very little influence on them. But our king has an intimate relationship with every single one of us. The other thing is that in the world, presidents and kings are all too happy to send their subjects out to war, to defend the kingdom and to defend what they have and to defend their throne. Our king went out to war for us, and he died for us so that we could come back into his kingdom. It's totally opposite of the world. That's what our king did. We were so precious and valuable to him that he took on human form, paid the price so that he died so that we could be with him. Wow. Now, there are people who will die for Christ, but what they're dying for is their witness for him. They're not trying to defend him. He needs no defense, right? But there's an enemy out there who despises the children of light, and he will try to take the children of light down. So there are people who are martyred for Christ, but it doesn't change the kingdom. The kingdom is secure. It is secure. And we die, and if we die for Christ, it's for his glory. And we die demonstrating who he is, just as he laid his life down for us, so we lay our lives to demonstrate our king to people. Because the world is in darkness, and what God has called us to do, what Jesus calls us to do, is go out and demonstrate the goodness of our king. That's what we're doing all the time. We're out there in to demonstrate him not only in character and in nature, the goodness of God, the character of God, the integrity of God, but also the power of God. You know, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. That's what he's called us to do. Go and make disciples, not converts, make disciples. Why? Because we're in a battle. The Lord showed me years ago, everything we'll ever see is always a battle between light and dark. It's always the crashing of two kingdoms is what we're always seeing. And he's the light. And because we're in the light, we carry the light too. But that's all that's ever going on in the world. You know, you watch politics, you watch news, you watch Family Feud, whatever, anything that's going on. It's always a battle between light and dark. That's what's going on. It's always light and dark going back and forth. So he's our king. He represents, he He's the king of the kingdom of God. He's made access for every single one of us to now enter this kingdom, and we represent him everywhere we go. And he is different than any king we've ever seen in the world. And if our security is in anything other than him, we're lost. We are lost. That's why we can rest, because he's in charge of protecting us. He's in charge of taking care of us. That's his responsibility. It's not ours. So when you look at other ways we can compare when Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, our kingdom, the world says, Jesus says, love your enemy. The world says, hate your enemy. Right? Jesus says, if someone attacks you, Jesus says to love them. You don't attack back. The world says, you take them down. If you're lacking money or food, Jesus says, give what you have, and he will give back to you. The world says, if you're lacking, you need to hold on to what you get more of it any way you can, and don't give anything away. Jesus's way is to treat the rich and the poor, black or white, culture, country, whatever. It's all the same to him. There's not male or female, Paul says. He sees all of us of great value to him. The world just makes all kinds of distinctions, and it gives this one has more power than this one, and this one has more rights than this one. Jesus, he takes the mountains low and the valleys high, and everyone is equal in his sight. Everyone is equal in his sight. And so the world sees differences. Jesus sees one. The world says, if you do a charitable deed, the world says, leave a great monument. You need a building, you need a plaque, you need all these things. If you do a charitable deed, blow your horn and say, look at what I've done. Get credit for it. Jesus says, if you do that, that's fine, but that's all the reward you're going to get. But if you do a charitable deed and you don't let anyone know about it, you just do it and you just give or whatever, then you receive a reward in heaven for that charitable deed. So it's opposite of the world. Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. The world says you need to pursue possessions with whatever you get, and the more you have, the better off you are. Jesus says, I'll come and heal you. The world says the disease is going to kill you. Jesus' kingdom takes the lowest rank and serve, and the world says you need to use your authority and you need to lord it over people. Jesus says that divorce was only given because of the hardness of our hearts, and the world says if your spouse is a problem, you need to move on and find a better one. So this is the difference between what the kingdom says and what the world says. So he's the opposite. He's the opposite. We have... When Jesus stood before Herod, let's go to John 18, or before Pilate. In John chapter 18, So what happened is Jesus had been picked up in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had been chained. He had been kind of smacked around. He went before Pilate. Pilate didn't want to judge Jesus. He was doing whatever he could to not judge Jesus. He sent him to the Jews. The Jews returned him. He sent him to Herod. Herod returned him. So now Jesus is back in front of Pilate again. And he says, verse 33, Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. I love this. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you the king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. I just love that. Yeah, he's a king. He says, for this cause I've come into this world. He came as a king to establish the kingdom of God here on earth and to make it possible for us to come back into the kingdom of God, which is what we were created for. Again, you're wearing a robe that finally fits. The world didn't fit. So he brings you into the kingdom, right? But what I love where he says here is that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. You know, if you think about it, there's just something in you that just resonates. There's just something in you that hears him. There's just something in you that when you first heard about Jesus, something that draws you to him. You know what I'm saying? Well, I remember when I was a little girl, I don't know if my parents remember this, but we were watching one of the classic Easter movies, you know, around Easter time, and they crucified Jesus. And I went running out of the room, I threw myself across the bed, and I just cried and cried and cried because they killed him. And he was just so good. He was just so wonderful. He was so precious. You know, I didn't understand what that was all about, but they killed him. And I was just so devastated by that. Because there's just something in us that just knows that that he's special, that there's truth there, that when we see him, we know what human beings actually are supposed to look like. You see goodness, you see beauty, you see character, you see integrity, you see the beauty of who he is. And there's just something that resonates inside of us. And I believe Pilate was having this stirring going on inside of him because he did not want to crucify Jesus. He tried to push him away in any way he could, right? But he just had to keep peace between the Romans and Jews. It was a political thing. But anyway, you know, I think he knew there was something that was a witness to him that he didn't want to do. And we all, there's something in us that recognizes, and that's the part of you that hears truth. There's a witness to truth inside each one of us. And we know that Jesus is king. He's the king we were born to serve. He's the king of the kingdom we were meant to live in. That's who he is. And it just bears witness to us. But here Jesus is before him, and he's saying all this to Pilate, but yet from a worldly standpoint, he looks nothing like a king. He's been beaten. He's got chains. He's probably got blood on him. His hair is probably a mess. He was in a dungeon all night, so he probably stinks. And he stands boldly in front of him and says, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. You can't judge me according to what you see, because my kingdom is from another place. And that's the place he represented, and that's the place he calls us into. And that's the place we will live in eternally. See, sometimes I think we forget to have an eternal perspective on things. Because I think having an eternal perspective just helps us so much in grasping this world and what we go through. Because this is not our home. This is not our home. Once you come into the kingdom, you are here as an ambassador for Christ, right? Your home is heaven. Your home is the kingdom of God. And now your life is here to represent the king. And just as if I were to go and be an ambassador to England, I'm still a resident of the United States. So we're residents of the kingdom of God, ambassadors to the earth in this place, and we represent the king. And so that's our life. So, you know, so to me, things in this world become just really meaningless. They really do, you know? Like, I mean, we have a house. It's an okay house, but you just don't know how much that doesn't matter to me. Like, the car I drive just really doesn't matter to me. Just that stuff to me is just so meaningless. It's so meaningless. Jesus says he's making a mansion for us, you know? And that's even nice, but that's not a reason to go to heaven either, you know? I remember reading this book about My Dream of Heaven by Rita Springer, Ruth Springer. And she says in the beginning of the book that she was dying and she had this dream of heaven and she came back and she continued to live. And so she wrote what her dream was of heaven. And she says, I'm not saying this is doctrinally correct. I'm just telling you what my experience was. And so when she was in heaven, she said it was beautiful. She could see all the mansions and she got to see, you know, the streets are lined with gold and the flowers are beautiful and the people are beautiful. And there's just tremendous peace and light. And all of that is wonderful, you know. And I always picture, you need to know that like the mansion Jesus is making for you in John 14, it talks about mansion. You need to know that He knows you so well that it's going to be absolutely perfect beyond what you could have done in your own natural way. You know what I'm saying? Because He just knows you so well. But I remember reading the story, and it was, she's telling all these things, and you know, she met Jesus, and that's awesome, and she's walking down, and all of a sudden in the distance, she sees a group of people, and they're gathered around, and she goes up, and they're gathered around Paul, and Paul's teaching. And I thought, you can still teach in heaven? Okay, I'll go. Because you know, I couldn't care about the mansions, all that other stuff. If we can still teach, I'm in. Anyway, but I mean, really having a perspective of the kingdom helps us deal with today, because this is not our home. These are not our values. So what people look at and what people value in this world is not, we're not of it. And so when we walk through our life, I think it's so important for us to keep an eternal perspective. Like all of us, we're going to be together forever. We're going to be together forever. I mean, whether we're here or there, whatever God does with each one of our destinies, we will always be together forever. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're born again, you are in the kingdom of God. When you die, you just stay in the kingdom you're already in. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in darkness. When you die, guess what? You're separated from Him from heaven. It doesn't matter how we live. It's which kingdom do you live in? But if you're in the kingdom of God, hopefully that will influence you to live the kingdom lifestyle, because you see the beauty of who He is. So forever, we're going to be together. You know, I talked to my daughter. One of my great blessings is that she's on fire for Jesus. And sometimes I just cry because I think to myself, we're going to be together forever. Like always we'll be together. I mean, what a blessing is that? And that's the way it is for us. So keeping an eternal perspective on our lives is so important, because we have a King. He's responsible for us. He takes care of us. We will always be with Him. We are in that kingdom, and we are secure because He is secure. He has already won the battle. Darkness will never overcome Him. We are secure in that kingdom because we have a King that has already conquered death, hell, and the grave. We are in this body, but we're not of this body. When we die, just transition right out of here into the other kingdom. I mean, into the other reality. But we already live in that reality now because we have a King. Now, the other thing is he's a really good King, and we are right now we're in a dispensation of what they call grace. In that right now, our job as ambassadors are to bring as many people into the kingdom of light as possible, because this will wrap up one day. It will wrap up one day. And the kingdom of darkness will be completely defeated one day, because our King is coming back. He is coming back. So our job is to occupy during this time and to be a witness for Him and bring as many people out of darkness into light. But one day, He's going to come back. So let's take a look at Acts 19. We'll start with Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. This is when Jesus, after the 40 days, He had spent time with the disciples. And Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After He had spoken to them, told them to tarry for the to go to Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, he says, now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So just as they clearly saw Jesus, I don't know, did he say, beam me up, Scotty? I don't know. I know I say beam me up, Scotty, sometimes, but beam me up, Lord. But he rose. He rose into a cloud and he left the earth. That's how he left. But he's saying now the same way. So in other words, in that presence of him leaving, where it's going to be that obvious when he returns. Now we'll go to we'll start off looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which talks about what's going to happen to believers when this happens. And please, no questions about end times. Because there's 1,000 scholars on it and they can't agree, so don't ask me. But okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I just know after it happens, we're all going to look at Scripture and go, oh yeah, it was right there. Just like when Jesus was born. 1 Thessalonians 4, it will start in 16. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So the people who have died as believers in Christ, they will rise first out of the grave. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So the people who are alive at Christ's return, we first the dead in Christ raise, and then we're all caught up in the sky, and that's with him, and we're with him forever. Okay, so that's what happens to believers and believers at the time of Christ's return. Let's go to Revelation now. This is what our King does for us. Revelation 19. This is John having a vision of Christ returning. 19 verse 11. Revelation 19 verse 11. It says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ah, amen. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. He rules and reigns, and every knee will bow before him. Every knee will bow. Everyone will recognize that we can get so caught up in what's going on in the world, but there's a spiritual dimension that is more real than what the flesh and blood realm. There is a spiritual dimension, and there are two kingdoms that operates, and Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God. And he is our King, and he will rule and reign forever. And it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we need to know that as believers, we will give an account. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 9. 2 Corinthians, oops. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Paul's talking, he says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, meaning the Lord, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive all things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we will all stand before the Lord. And it's not a matter of salvation. We're saved. Our salvation was based on what he did and whether or not we received him, whether or not we're a child of the king. So it's not based on our salvation, but there will be a reward for our works. It talks about when we first get to heaven that there's crying in the beginning. And I just believe that that crying is people all of a sudden realizing, oh my gosh, there was so much more that I could have done. I could have lived in so much greater way if I had realized what he had done for me, that I could have lived a more laid down life, a more sacrificial life, a fuller life. I just believe that there's regret. So I think there's this moment we're standing in front of him as believers, and we just get this flash of, you know, what we could have maybe done more or whatever. But then, I mean, his love just circles us, right? It just envelops us. But we are going to be accountable for our lives as believers. I mean, there's a hierarchy. People are going to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. And so there are people who are going to be in higher levels than other people. And that's just the way that it is in the kingdom of God. And so based on the maturity level that you've reached here on earth is the greater responsibility he can give you in heaven. Okay? It's nothing for people to feel condemned about. It should be inspiring to us that there's greater ways that we can live for him. How do we lay our lives down in greater ways for him? Because he's called each one of us to a destiny and purpose. And I think it's going to be really surprising to us, because I think sometimes we're going to find out that the cleaning lady in the bathroom has great authority in the kingdom of heaven than the person in the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's going to think that it's totally different than what we think. I can assure you that. Because it's just, was our heart completely surrendered? It's not what he called you to as far as grandeur, but were you obedient to whatever he called you to? If he told you to clean bathrooms for 20 years and you cleaned them faithfully and you were obedient, that's a great reward. Then there's no higher or lower. It's just, are you faithful to whatever he called you to? And so we will stand before him. And again, it's not for us to dread it, but just to understand that we are accountable for our lives before him, because he's king. And we're here to manifest the kingdom and to demonstrate the kingdom and to live the kingdom of God. And we all have a calling. We all have a destiny. We all have a purpose. And he is king. He is king. You feel blessed? You feel blessed? We have an awesome king who we always have an audience with him. He says, come boldly to the throne room of grace in times of trouble. We always have his presence. And here's the thing, is that his presence changes us. We've talked about this before. There's stuff that each one of us is dealing with in our lives, right? But you cannot change yourself. You cannot change yourself. It's the audience with the king. It's spending time at his feet. It's being a Mary and sitting at his feet that all of a sudden transforms things, and your heart changes, you soften, and you're just a softer person, a gentler person, maybe a bolder person. I don't know whatever it is that he's working out in each one of us, but it's not through us trying to change ourselves. It's through us just being in presence of the king. And we allow his presence to transform us. And from that place, we become yielded, because why would we not want to yield to this awesome, awesome, awesome king who loves us dearly and paid a tremendous price for us to have eternal security in him. Amen? Amen. So let's just pray here. Lord, I just thank you so much for being a king, that we can just rest in such security in you, because you are so great. You are so righteous. You are so holy. You are so pure. And Lord, we just thank you for the battle that you fought for us, the victory that you took for us as king, And we thank you, Lord, that we're just rest assured in your strength and your ability, and that in your presence, transformation happens in our lives. And Lord, we just seek to glorify you, to magnify you, and to lift you up. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. I just feel on my heart, I just feel like if anyone today felt like, I'm not sure if I would go to heaven if I died today, you can know that. You can know that right now. You can know that right now by just confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I'm not asking for people to raise their hands or anything like that. I just want to, if we could all just bow our heads and we're just going to pray. And all it is a commitment to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That'll also, just repeat after me. Father God, I know that you sent Jesus to pay for my sins. I accept his sacrifice on the cross. And I receive that. I thank you that he rose from the dead, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And right now, Lord, I give my life to you. Come into my heart, and I receive your free gift of salvation, and I claim my membership in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus.